Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and as promised on what's really turning out to be a heck of a Monday show, as promised, Everett Fritz here this hour. We're going to talk about raising up the next generation of Catholic leaders. We'll talk about why it does appear in many ways we're failing at that. I'm sure in many, many places and in many cases we're not failing at it. But as a general matter, you'd have to say, well, there are certainly challenges presenting themselves there. And so how can we go about reversing that trend? Everett Fritz is the founder and executive director of Andrew Ministries, which is devoted to training parishes in discipleship and family-based youth ministry. He's got lots of years of experience at this, at working in youth ministry. And he's the author of several books, including One Disciple at a Time: How to Lead Others to Dynamic, Engaged, and Life-Changing Faith. Everett Fritz, thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me back. I think this is my fifth time.
Is it really?
I'm becoming like the Jerry Seinfeld to your Letterman, you know?
Oh, I'm so happy to hear
that's
that.
That's the way I feel. I'm a regular at this point.
I particularly like being categorized with David Letterman. Now my head's really big. The number is 888-318-7884. I'm going to tell you the honest truth about something, Everett. We don't have a lot of open slots anymore on Catholic Answers Live. So Darren and I had to meet in December and say, in 2023... who are the people we really like talking to? And you are, I'm not going to say at the top of that list, because we just had Dr. Stacey Trisankos on, and she's definitely above you, but you're very close to the top of the list.
If I were at the top of your list, I would think there would be something wrong with this. There's a few. There's at least a few that I could come up with who would be better guests.
See, that's an answer like that.
Thank you. I'm privileged and honored and very happy to be on the show.
Well, we're sure happy that you agreed to come on the show, and I hope we'll do a lot more this year. Again, I want to give out the number because maybe you're working in youth ministry or parish ministry. Maybe you're thinking about doing family-based catechesis and training and evangelization in your parish, in your area. We want you to get on the lines and call 888-318-7884. Maybe you're just a parent who'd like some help. I would like these children of mine to grow up to have a good chance of having the faith in their life. 888-318-7884. Maybe we could start with just your experience of what's happening. Why are we losing them, Everett?
Yeah, I think of my own Catholic parish, and just recently on pastoral council, I was chatting with the pastor. We were having a conversation. We were talking about leadership in the parish, and we said, it's the same people who do all the same things. Where are the young families? Where we have tons of young families in our parish. It's actually a very active and thriving parish. But in terms of doing things, mm-hmm. we were saying, hey, why is it that these people aren't, new blood isn't coming forward to start new ministries or get engaged? And we said, well, is the old blood stepping aside? Is the old blood giving them the opportunity, empowering them? And this then spoke to my heart, because youth ministry is my passion, and I can't tell you how much I want to. I love to see young Catholic gifted people have opportunities to serve in meaningful ways in the church. And this is just recently I've been thinking through this and thinking about the lack of opportunity. And I think there's at least in my own Denver area, young families have flocked to a certain number of parishes, and they tended to be parishes that a few years ago were dead. And I think a part of why they're moving there is because they can take over. like there's no one there to stop them. The opportunity is there. And next thing you know, what was previously a parish that was on the verge of closing is thriving with young families everywhere.
Wow.
So, it's just a fascinating thing to think about, in that if the same people have been doing the same things for 20 plus years, and you could say this of all kinds of Catholic circles, is the problem that people aren't coming forward, or is the problem that they're not stepping aside?
That is so interesting, Everett. You always say something that surprises me. And that, what a great point, that we got to get out of the way and let them do it. And you're making me think of the I think almost every elementary school at some point has had those three moms who do everything for the PTA and complain that nobody else does it, but they're kind of controlling and bossy, frankly, and that they're keeping other people from doing it because they want to keep doing it the same way. And I love those moms. They're great. I'm sure they're wonderful people. But we all can have that tendency of, you can take over as soon as you can do this job as good as I can do it. And the only person currently who can do it as good as I'm doing it is me.
I'll tell you when this thought started to, I think a couple of years ago, this thought started to really work its way into my head. And it was, I went to some Catholic conference and they had fantastic Catholic speakers, but every single one of the speakers were speakers that I've heard before, meaning that they'd been speaking at conferences for years and years and years. And I just thought, as I saw that, I said, I'm really tired of hearing insert famous name speaker here. You know, yeah. I don't want to name names, but I'm really tired of hearing this person. Like, their message is as good as ever, but I'd actually rather see this person off the stage, see a millennial up on the stage giving a presentation, and see that person not go away, the older generation, but rather behind the stage mentoring that next generation, giving them the opportunity. And so it's, you know, I can't tell you how frustrating it is when I go, I've noticed it recently, just going to all kinds of different Catholic events. It's like, yeah, it's all the same people. Where's the new next generation? I can tell you three times in my life, when I have seen someone who eventually became a big Catholic name in terms of the gifts and talents that they had for the church, and I saw them before they were big, probably in their early 20s, and their last, and I remember seeing them get up on a stage, and nobody knew who they were, and they gave a presentation, or they led worship, or they did something, and I thought, wow, that person's going to do some big things. And the three people were Chris Stefanik, Matt Maher, and Paul J. Kim, who are all huge names in Catholic circles now.
I never heard of
them. Saw Matt Maher when he still had blonde in his hair. Now he's got, you know, white hair.
Yeah.
But 9 Grammy nominations and, you know, big. I remember seeing him and nobody knew who he was. And I just thought, this guy is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Tragedy it would have been if his gifts and talents weren't fully realized, if the opportunities didn't present themselves. So, you know, it's just something that's been kind of ruminating in my head is the idea that we need to present opportunities for new ideas, new people, and gifted and talented people to come forward.
All right, well, so give me some ideas about how to do that, say at the parish level. And I mean, certainly at the national level, I actually feel kind of proud while you're saying this because Chris and John, the leaders here, have this, you know, affiliate apologist program where they're really working to find the next generation of great apologists you can't just go to the same well forever because there's an expiration date on people. You got to bring them along. But at every level, how might we do this?
I just thinking about the parish. Let's go back to the parish example. And the only reason I'm going back to this is because I had this conversation with somebody 2 days ago over coffee. I was meeting with a guy who was in the Knights of Columbus, younger guy. So unusual that he was a younger guy in the Knights of Columbus. But we were talking about how most of the Knights of Columbus in parishes are the older gentlemen. And we said, well, what is it that the Knights of Columbus do? Well, they do the pancake breakfast. They do a lot of service work. They have their meetings, etc. Well, who's got time to flip pancakes on a Sunday morning, like all morning? And great, I'm not harping on the Knights of Columbus. I think they're a phenomenal organization.
Of course, yeah.
Do great
yeah.
things. And parishes are in great, you know, super indebted to the service that they give. But I frequently hear from Knights, hey, why don't younger guys join us? And then I look at the activities and I think, okay, I'm a father of 3 wonderful children. I have no time on my hands. If a Knight came to me and made a sales pitch, and this is literally a sales pitch that I've heard from Knights to come join them, it was something along the lines of, hey, we need young blood. Like, come and join us. Like, we need you to flip pancakes. We need you to do service. We're getting old. Like, and it's like, that is the least appealing invitation. I don't have the time to come and flip pancakes. Mm-hmm. And my friend J.M. Boyd, who works for Glass Canvas, said to me one time that he had received a similar invitation from the Knights. And he was like, that's unappealing. I'm not interested. He says, you know what an invitation would look like that would be appealing? come to our meeting on Tuesday evening and we'll teach you how to drink bourbon. And he says, yeah. But there's something in there's a couple of things in that invitation. He says, one, it's fellowship, it's bourbon, but we'll teach you how to. He says, something that I badly need in my life is mentorship. He says, I don't have an older generation in my life who can teach me the finer things of life, who can pass on their wisdom of parenthood, et cetera. He says, now you're speaking my language. Now you're presenting something to me that I need. Like, that's how you raise up new blood. You have to present to the needs of the people that you're ministering to. If you want to raise up the next generation, give them the opportunities, yeah, step aside, let new people do new things. That's true. But also just learning to invite people to something that is actually speaks to their need. You know, why do the Marthas, why are they all 90 years old in a parish? Well, their recruitment activity looks like a luncheon on a Tuesday at 11:30 p.m. Who's going to come to that? Like, nobody young is going to come to that.
I think so. It's 11:30 a.m. I don't think it's p.m.
Yeah, oh, a.m. Yeah. I'm sorry. P.m. Yeah. They're all asleep.
There's no way they're meeting at 11:30
p.m. Yeah. No, you're only going to get an older generation if you do an 11:30 a.m. luncheon,
right.
Which is fine if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
But you got to think about if you want to raise up new leaders, the invitation has to start with, well, what is it that these people actually feel called to? You know, the young people are going to dead parishes and starting over there because it's easier to just start new than to try to take over the leadership positions that don't exist in parishes because people won't step aside. Anyway, get me on my soapbox.
Yeah, I like getting you on your soapbox because you're always thinking interesting thoughts. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk about raising up the next generation of Catholic leaders, whatever the issue is, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe it's something that you're actively engaged in your parish and you've had successes. You want to share them? Great. Maybe it's something that you are is a great challenge wherever you are as a parent, as a teacher, as a parish minister. Whatever is the case, you are welcome here, 888-318-7884. Everett Fritz, the director of Andrew Ministries, is our guest. And don't forget the name of that book, One Disciple at a Time, How to Lead Others to Dynamic, Engaged, Life-Changing Faith. 888-318-7884. We take your calls right after this with Everett Fritz on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
There is tremendous power in prayer, because when we acknowledge that we don't have the power, but God does, things then begin to move for our good. Remember Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now that's power.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. So we got one tip so far from Everett Fritz, and I bet it wasn't the one that you were thinking of. As a matter of fact, if you already thought of that, you are on your A game, because Everett always brings new and interesting ideas to us. So how are we going to raise up the next generation of leaders in the Catholic Church? Tip one, get out of their way. Let them take over. Let them do stuff. Let them create and engage in the way that that they do with their peer group. The number is 888-318-7884. Give us another tip before I go to the phones. What else can we do? How can we raise up a generation of leaders, people who really care about sharing the faith and can do it?
So much of what I do in ministry, and again, I do a lot of work with youth ministry, but I like to do one-to-one discipleship. And if you are working with people who are at different stages of their faith journey, but at some point in the stage of their faith journey, you have to invite them and call them into mission. I say of young adult ministry all the time, if you haven't given them a mission, like these people want to light the world on fire. They're at a point in their lives where the weight of the world has not crushed their spirits yet, you know? Yeah. And they haven't gotten disillusioned about oh, nothing can change. I'm at that point now, but I'm not a 20-something. So, you know, there is a reality that, look, every revolution that's ever happened in the world started with young people. You look at the American Revolution, you look at the ages of our founding fathers, they were in their 20s, most of them. You know, it's a... No. I mean, that's, you know, Alexander Hamilton. If you watch the Hamilton show, it starts with him at age 18. Why did Pope St. John Paul II start World Youth Day? I firmly believe it's because he wanted to start a revolution. Yeah. So it's a matter of saying, okay, how do we call people? You have to identify the Holy Spirit gives people gifts and charisms that are unique to them and they're for the purposes of building up the church. And unless you actually say to them, hey, I see this in you and I want to invite you to come and share these gifts and do these things, it's not going to happen. Those gifts remain dormant.
That's right. 888-318-7884, the number. I'm going to go to Linda and take her call and several other callers on here. But when you were speaking about that, it made me think, Everett, and I just want to share this with you. A good friend of mine, she was in her 80s. She died recently, and she and her husband had a whole big Catholic family. But when they were very young, at their parish, someone started a Catholic family group where families would just get together. And sometimes she would tell me about how much of a difference that made over the course of her life because they stayed in contact and these families grew up together. So it's not a small thing that you do when you do what you're talking about finding a way to give them what they need. They needed a family group. They needed something that would help them as parents where they could sit around and talk about the Catholic faith. And this got them through their whole life. And so at the end of her life, she could see the great value in this. So I really want to encourage, I wanted to share that story with you, Everett, because you work with people on the young side of life. But these things can make a lifetime of difference for people if you can find the thing that they need and that gives them that sense of purpose and mission and gives them the thing to do. All right, so now I'll go to Linda in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Linda, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Everett Fritz.
Hi. I just have like a comment, maybe not a question. I don't understand why we don't involve more like young married couples. I'm in my 60s and I, you know, wanted to start a Bible study. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead, start one. And I think I'm the youngest one there and I'm 60. It's just like,
yeah.
You know, when
well, 60 is young. I don't know if you know this, but it's the new 30. But I get what you're saying. I just want to say that because I'm coming up on 60. But Everett, what do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I'd have a lot of questions. So when does the group meet? How was it advertised? You know, what was the you're right that it doesn't surprise me that's the demographic of people you're getting. Those tend to be the people who have time and are interested and invested. If to be fair too, the younger generation, if they don't think that their friends will be there or that there are going to be other younger couples there, they will not show up. There's something that's happened with the later millennial generation and current Gen Z, that it used to be that if you wanted to make friends, you would show up to something where there were a large number of people, get to know people, and then from there you would develop an affinity group. Nowadays, young people, and you could say this of young families as well, they want their affinity group. They check with their affinity group, are you going to this large thing? And if they're not, they don't show up together. So it's a matter of like they, the thing that gets them there is their already existing intimate friendships. Going to something to meet new people is just not an attraction to a younger generation. So how do you get those people there? Well, the solution is actually to develop friendships with them. And you say, well, how can I develop friendships with them if they're not already there? I kid you not, I have probably 5 to 10 coffee chats a week, at least, where I invite people out to coffee that I see. In a lot of cases, I run into them at Mass, or maybe it's even a new person I haven't met before. And I get in a conversation, and I say, let's go out to coffee. And I get their contact information, and I go. And then usually from there, like, I start to develop a friendship with them, and then I will invite them to something. So it's... I would encourage you, if you want to get young Catholic families there, find a young Catholic family, a couple, that is in your parish, maybe somebody that other families follow, if you can actually identify who's kind of the lead couple, and invite them out to coffee and start to say, hey, what's going on in your life? Tell me how we can support you. You know, get to know their story a little bit, and you might find that, hey, they were interested in the Bible study, and a personalized invitation actually gets them there. Or they might say, you know what, I was interested in the Bible study, but it meets at 11 o'clock on Tuesdays, and I work at that time. And you say, well, you know what, we need to have an evening chapter of this group. But you're never going to know, like, what is it that's actually going to meet these needs and actually get them there unless you actually talk to them.
Linda, I want to come back to you and see what you think.
Right in for a second?
Go ahead, Linda.
Can
yes.
Can I say that, like, I also have a group of Protestant friends that are in a Bible study, and our group started with, like, 6 people. Now we're up to 12. And their, like, leaders told them at the group, when it hits 10, you have to divide. So nobody really wants to divide because we've grown to love each other in 3 years. But we also want to encourage others to love Jesus. So we're dividing. And I don't see that in the Catholic Church. I don't see, you know, they have their Bible studies, but they won't divide. And it's like, okay, good luck on your own. And we want, you know, the ones that are pros at this. Help us.
Yeah, no, it is.
To do that?
It is. I actually hate the division idea, but that's because once you form a tight knit community, which is what I would call a small group, you should like this. You're striving for intimate, virtuous friendships, but there does need to be an attitude of invitation. And you're right. Then it becomes larger and maybe it becomes a second, but it should divide organically, not like we've hit a certain number, therefore now divide. There is an attitude among many Catholics that I meet of all generations. So this is not a certain generational problem where they try to get their needs met in a certain way. And then once they do, they become exclusive. We would call that a clique, which is not what Jesus wants. You know, if you actually have a, and I think it's like a protective measure that people take is that once your group becomes close and tight knit and your needs are being met, you don't want to throw off the dynamic by inviting new people in, but that's counterintuitive to spreading the gospel. I challenge people all the time because I actually see what I think is becoming something that is toxic in the church, and that I see people trying to create safe bubbles, particularly young families, to raise their kids in. And rebuild Christendom within those bubbles. And I'm like, that's never going to work. Like, that's just not the age of the world that we live in. I said this at a conference recently where I said, look, like, more and more I'm finding Christians that are isolating from the world and want to build safe spaces where they can have community with one another, but then they are isolating from the world in which they are called to evangelize. Christians are not supposed to have safe spaces. Like liberal elitist snowflakes have safe spaces. That's not what a Christian is supposed to do. Now, how do you get out of that? It's just, look, if you figure it out, let me know. But I just keep calling people to invite, go out of your comfort zone, get to know your neighbors, etc., challenging people to get out of their comfort zones.
Linda, I want to go back to you because it's a fascinating conversation. We do have other folks on the line, but did you want to? Was there more that you wanted to say?
I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Why don't we have like a Wednesday night praise session? Like, you know, we have our Mass, and I absolutely love our Mass. I could not live without the Eucharist. But it would also be nice to like have a like the young people again, a group to praise and worship, and then go chat. Does any Catholic church does that, or is that too Protestant?
Oh, I know. I know many, many Catholic churches that do that. I will say, look, there are many times when I have gone to prayer and said to the Lord, why don't we have this thing? It seems like a no-brainer to me. And I find that that is an invitation from, I will almost always get the response of, because I'm waiting for you to start it. And so I'm like, okay, why don't we have, you know, such and such a Bible study? Why don't we have a men's ministry? Why don't we have a youth ministry that's focused on discipleship? And the Lord has said to me, because I'm waiting for you to start it. So if you feel called to something, if you see a need, don't sit on the sidelines. Like, it's maybe you don't have the ability to lead worship, but you see a need there. Start talking around and asking where you can find a worship leader.
Okay.
Your pastor at your parish, and say, hey, we have this idea. Let's pray through it.
Linda, you got us right up to the break. Thank you for that. A wonderful conversation. We need to have these conversations because just so much is needed. And I think there's lots of people, myself included, who sometimes look around and go, what is the next thing to do? We need to keep being creative and finding ways to share the good news. We'll do more of that with Everett Fritz right after this on Catholic Answers Live. The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As Catholic apologetics have gotten stronger, Protestant responses have gotten stronger as well. And now they have their own answers to rebut the standard Catholic proofs. Don't fret, we've got you covered. In his new book, Meeting the Protestant Response, apologist Carlo Broussard gives well-reasoned biblical answers to Protestant comebacks. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Response today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Janet Williams. Please join us for Women of Grace tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Nobody knows if Everett Fritz goes out to all these coffee meetings just because he likes coffee or because he really wants to share the Lord. But I think it has to do with both, actually. I think
that's why I talk so fast. I'm just like on adrenaline and caffeine.
Yeah. I've had 11 coffee meetings today. lots of folks on the line. We're talking about how to form, how to build, how to find, how to all those things we got to do. It's a creative act. It's not just a matter of plug and play. It's a creative act. Of building. How do we build up the leaders that we need for the coming years of the church? Everett Fritz is our guest, and on the line we have several people. We do have time for you if you want to call, 888-318-7884. We're going to Marie in Texas right now, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Marie, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question or comment for Everett Fritz.
It's a comment, and I would like to say I'm 60 years old, so this is a little bit personal for me. We have of course we want the younger people to come to the church. Of course we do. But in my particular parish, we have a, hipster millennial priest who is, energetic, and we love that about him. But he doesn't want old people there, and he is pushing us out. And so I'm on the young end of the people. So now that my kids have grown and they've left the house, and I now have the time and the talent and the treasure, and I turn to the church to participate and to grow in my faith, I don't have anything to do. There is nothing being offered to me. And I'm finding that with many of the old people that are in my parish. They've been members of that parish for 70 years. They raised families in that parish. And they're being pushed out. Ugh. And we kind of joke. The joke is that we're Roman Catholics because we go from parish to parish to parish, just going to attend Mass wherever we feel like we're being fed. And so I just would caution against that. That's just my take on it.
Well, can you hang on and we'll make it a conversation, Marie? We'll get Everett's response, then we'll come back to you. Is that all right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Everett, what do you make of that? That sounds kind of horrible to me, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've met many a young hipster priest that have the best of intentions, but they don't have refined pastoral approaches yet. And so while there may be a good intention behind something, they end up making people feel like they're not wanted. That's the last thing we want in the church, is making people feel like they don't belong. I can sympathize with a new pastor coming into a parish and looking at the landscape of his parish and saying, if we don't get young blood in here, this parish is not going to survive. Because that's actually a common occurrence. So I can sympathize. Like, I'm trying to look at it from the perspective of the pastor. If his intention is, we're going to minister to younger families or younger people, we're going to get new leadership in, we want new ideas, it's time. I would say that it's important to say, okay, is this a response to the work of the Holy Spirit saying it's time for the parish to turn a page? Now, where this gets into the problem that you're having is, if that's then done in a way that is not pastoral, and in a way that's pushing people out of positions of leadership, rather than giving them a new position of leadership, like mentoring the next generation. This is why I said, I don't want to see that Catholic speaker that's been speaking on stage for 20 years go away. I just want to see them get a new role. There's a major lost opportunity there if he's losing that kind of wisdom, making people feel like they're no longer welcome. And I think that, again, I don't know what young hipster means in terms of age or in terms of his experience. It may be he doesn't have a pastoral approach that's refined yet. I would say, honestly, like, if I were to give a recommendation to you, I would sit down with Father and say, cordially, hey, look, I still have time and talent and treasures to give, and I really want to give them, and this is the way I feel, and that's not accusatory. I actually want to know what your vision is, and tell me how I can work within the vision that you have. Where do you see my gifts and talents working within this new vision that you might have? And see if you have a meeting of the minds there. But yeah, I can sympathize. Like, nobody wants to be made to feel like their church community, they're no longer welcome. That's pretty awful. And my guess is that your pastor has good intentions, but not necessarily the best approach.
Marie, your take.
Well, you're being charitable. That's actually not the case. People have met with him, and he's, out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah,
so it's okay. There's other churches in town, and we can go there.
Well, so. I think it's noble of you to say that, but it's really not okay. I mean, and again, the truth is, some priests are turkeys. I mean, that happens.
I'm being charitable, but I've met many pastors who are jerks, and
I've never met one who's a jerk. I have never. I've met some that are turkeys, but I've never met. No, actually, that's not true. So I see that. And I think, Marie, if I'm not mistaken, you're listening to the first half of the show where Everett's saying, we need to make room for these young leaders. And you're saying, hey, there still needs to be room for me. Am I reading that right?
That's correct. And please understand, I want the new leaders there too.
Sure.
But again, I would like to be in a mentor position. I have, 20 years of experience. I've seen a lot of things, and I will say, without going into detail, I was in a position, an advisory position to that pastor, who just didn't want to hear what I had to say because I wasn't saying yes to everything saying that's a great idea. I was saying, you know what, we tried that back in 2005, and here's what happened. And it was, so that sort of, like I said, I'm coming from a position of pain, but that is an unfortunate thing, is that the Pope Francis said in a homily once that a shepherd needs to smell like his flock. And it occurred to me after speaking with him is that there's two different ways for a shepherd to smell like his flock. One is to serve his sheep, and the other is to get different sheep that smell like him. And that is what our pastor has done. And so I would just, we do very much want the young people there. We don't want to look around at all of our old wrinkled faces and old stale ideas. But don't push the experience and the wisdom out. We've been around the block. We've seen it. We know what might work and what might not work.
Yeah, that's honestly, you said it beautifully. I would reiterate, if there are any priests listening, pastors listening, we are so thankful for your ministries to our priests. We are so thankful for what you do for us. I think that the best way to summarize what you said is that there's a right way and a wrong way to do something, and pushing people out. Sometimes it's absolutely necessary if somebody's toxic, but it doesn't sound like that's the case in your case.
No.
Pushing people out is not the right way to go about doing something.
Maria, I want to apologize to you right now for this. That what you just said about getting a new flock of sheep that smells like him. Later, I'm going to think about what you said, and I'm going to think that I thought of it, and then I'm going to start saying it like it was my idea, because that is such a good line. And I'm not going to do it on purpose, but that was quite a striking statement. And I really food for thought there. Marie, I really enjoyed the conversation. I got to go to the break. Is that all right with you?
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Very, very helpful. Everett Fritz is our guest. We're talking about bringing up that next generation of leaders in the church. How do we go about doing that? Whether you're a parent, a teacher, maybe you're a pastor yourself, maybe you're a rotten pastor who wants to call and be mad at us for talking about rotten pastors. No, I'm sure you're not. Give us a call, though, 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN offers listeners and viewers the daily readings to enable you to accompany the Mass of the day. Our Catholic daily readings include the readings of the day, along with online videos. It's a great resource for all who desire to live a life of faith that is pleasing to our Lord. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I can honestly say I don't think there's anybody in the world who has the full and complete answer, or even an answer that can be implemented yet. We're all struggling and searching in this regard, but one of the people who's in the forefront of thinking about these things and why we very much enjoy having him here is Everett Fritz, the author of One Disciple at a Time, How to Lead Others to Dynamic, Engaged, Life-Changing Faith. And we're talking about how do we get that next generation of leaders to take up the mantle of leadership in the Catholic Church. You are welcome to call with your questions or comments, 888-318-7884. Certainly one of the things we need to do is stop bleeding young people, and that's a tall order. But Everett, we got more calls. Shall I go back to the phones, or was there another point you wanted to make before I do that?
Nope.
All right.
Let's hear the next question.
Back to the phones we go. Kathy in Florida, listening to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Kathy, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question or comment for Everett.
Yes, I'm calling because I spent a few days with one of my grandsons who's supposed to be confirmed this spring, and I just find him so unengaged with his faith. I don't know where the problem, or if it's just his personality, and I just want to know, as a grandmother, I want to know how to help him. I've given him books. I don't think he reads them. I don't even know if I should bring it up because I'm not raising him. I was helping out.
Sure.
You know, on a short-term basis. But I'm very close to these children, and I just want to know... I would love for him to be a leader, and that's what my dream is for him. But I don't know as a grandparent how to make this happen when it doesn't seem to be happening, and if maybe he should even be delaying his confirmation.
All right, let's get Everett, and we'll come back to you, Kathy. Everett?
Oh, real quick, Kathy, what is the faith practice of his parents, if you don't mind me asking?
The mother is Catholic and a practicing Catholic, takes her two sons to church each week, as you know, faithfully. He comes with us sometimes, but his father is not Catholic, not anything.
Okay.
He was raised in a home which was Muslim, but he is not a practicing Muslim.
Okay. Just real quick, an observation is that young people, and this isn't 100% true, but young people will tend to imitate the faith practice of their father more than they will their mother. And that's just an observation from having worked with young people for 16 plus years. Look, the reality is, where is he at in terms of his faith? My guess is that he's like most 15-year-olds that I meet who come into the doors of a parish seeking the sacrament of confirmation, in that they're doing it because their parent is forcing them to be there. They go through the steps, they receive the sacrament, and then the church never sees them again. The average age the fastest growing religious denomination in the country today is not affiliated. It's the majority religion among young people today. I mean, we are losing our young people in droves. I would love to sit here and dissect what does his formation look like in the parish in preparation for the sacrament of confirmation, but we'd be here for a while. So it's, you know, there's something to be said for, is the parish meeting his needs? Is the parish providing good formation? In many cases, that's not typically the case. Should he get confirmed? I will tell you, this is my personal opinion, absolutely. He needs the sacramental grace of understanding and knowledge and piety and fear of the Lord. Like, that is supernatural grace. Now, will it take hold for somebody who's not practicing? Not necessarily, but it'll be there. Look, I was not ready to receive the sacrament of confirmation in terms of being open when I was 14 and received it. And somehow the Lord worked on me. In general, for those who are listening and they're wondering, what do I do with my 15-year-old that is a, you know, not interested in church and in practices and in what. The two things I will say is that the number one reason why young people are leaving the church today, and if I were to summarize it, because there's all kinds of different reasons why they leave, but if I were to summarize it in one sentence, I would say it's because the church doesn't meet their needs. Maslow has this theory of psychology known as the hierarchy of needs, that if your basic needs aren't met as a person, you never get to a point of self-actualization, meaning that for our purposes, like if a young person's basic needs aren't met, they're not going to get to a point of lifelong discipleship. So first and foremost, like, what does your grandson need? He needs a relationship with somebody who is a practicing Catholic, which it sounds like that's something you have. And I would say continue to pour into that relationship. Because there will be times in the course of his life where conversations will come up where you have an opportunity to give witness. The other thing that he needs is an encounter with Jesus Christ, that we can teach them catechesis till we're blue in the face. If they don't know Jesus, if they've never encountered him, it goes in one ear out the other. It's like, why am I learning about the sacrament of baptism or confirmation or the Eucharist? Like, this doesn't seem like it has any meaning for my life. Then you meet Jesus tangibly in a real experience, and you're like, oh, all this catechesis I got, now it makes sense. Now I'm interested. That was my experience. So as much as there might be an opportunity for a youth retreat, a youth camp, there are a ton, you know, the SEEK conference when he gets a little bit older, done by Focus, there are opportunities for encounter that develop, that have been developed, that would be beneficial for him potentially. Number one thing you can do, though, is just pour into him as a human being, love him, build a relationship with him, and see how the conversation naturally and organically develops.
All right, Kathy, what do you think?
Well, I appreciate that, yes.
Okay.
That gives me a direction. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. All right, very good.
We're good.
Thank you very, very much. The number here is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Everett Fritz, and I haven't allowed you, Everett, to talk about your own ministry, and maybe you want to talk about Andrew Ministries just for a minute. And I will go back to the calls.
Sure.
But
yeah, I think, and I'd love to sit here and dissect our last callers. Like I said, I could sit here for an hour and dissect all the different things that they're doing in terms of his formation, his parish, and we could really get into more specifics about what he needs. That's what I do with people with Andrew Ministries. But it's like, okay, in a 2 or 3 or 4 minute answer, how can I give some sort of direction? My heart breaks because it's like, yeah, I meet parents and grandparents all the time that want nothing more than for their child or their grandchild to meet the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's like, okay, every person has a story, every person has a journey, every person meets Jesus at different times in their life. The best advice I could give from a general standpoint is walk alongside of them so that you can be there when they begin to become attentive to what Jesus is speaking to them, and you can help with that process. And that's a journey that I find a lot of people aren't willing to go on with anybody because it's time consuming. What do I do with it? So Andrew Ministries is an apostolate I started back in 2017, and it's because I'm a big believer that the way we're forming young people in the church is just incorrect. It's just wrong. I want to see the church return to the way Jesus did ministry, because if you look at the way Jesus did ministry, he was focused on the crowds, sure, but his most successful ministry was among the 12, and even among 12 there were 3, and even among 3 there was 1. Like, I think God's plan to conquer the world started with St. Peter. He focused small and then grew big. And so there came a point in my own ministry with young people 10, 11 years ago where I had a big, huge youth group, and I realized that 90% of them were not practicing the faith once they graduated high school. And yet my youth group looked really successful. Like, it had all the bells and whistles that I was told a youth ministry needed. And when I actually dug into what was the most successful thing, was the small groups that we were doing. And so I flipped ministry and started focusing in on, rather than having one youth group on Sundays, we did with like 12 small groups throughout the week, and just assigned adult mentors to a handful of young people who were friends with one another. So affinity groups, like I talked about, put an adult mentor in their life and just said, pour into these young people for 4 years and teach them what it means to live Catholicism. I kid you not, the youth ministries that I helped to found now around the country are some of the most successful youth ministries. They thrived during the pandemic. Like, every youth ministry I know fell apart during the pandemic, except the ones that I worked with. I have a Catholic high school. If you are not familiar, Ute Feedham would love a shout out here. Ute Feedham and Dowling Catholic High School in Des Moines, Iowa. You can find them at utefeedham.org. They started small groups back in 2017. I worked with them to get the first couple off the ground. They finished last school year with 62 discipleship groups going in their school. Over 300, it was like 333 students voluntarily participating, receiving mentorship from an adult on a weekly basis with them and their friends. But they've been doing a study for 4 years where they actually have been following the students through college to see if they are still practicing the faith in college. And they found that by every measure that they measured, the Ute Feedham discipleship groups, those who were discipled in a smaller environment, were practicing their faith in college. So I think it was something like after the first year of college, 95% were still active Catholics. Even after 4 years of college, 59% were still weekly mass goers. I mean, the statistics were out of this world. So, and I'm starting to get those kinds of testimonies from a lot of places. So it really is like you focus small, you focus on individual needs, and then you grow from there. And that's what I'm finding in terms of ministry. It's like, this is what's working right now. Let's go back to the way Jesus did things.
Is there a website people can visit for Andrew Ministries?
Andrew Ministries, yeah. I should probably plug my own stuff. Andrew Ministries is andrew-ministries.com. And I have blogs and articles. I have my own podcast called Holy Conundrums, several books, The Art of Forming Young Disciples, One Disciple at a Time, just trying to create more and more resources, pushing people to discipleship and how to do it.
Let's go to Granger in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Granger, welcome. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Everett Fritz.
Hello.
Hi, Granger.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we have we're trying to start up a skateboard ministry here in Lincoln, and it's just me and my buddy, and it went away for about 2 months, but we started it in the summer, and we just picked it up about 2 weeks ago, and we're just trying to get some advice on, like, what to do. It's just me and my buddy right now.
You say skateboard ministry. So the way I define ministry is about meeting the needs of a person. So homeless ministry, you feed the hungry, you clothe the naked, you provide shelter. A hospital ministry, you're taking care of the sick and dying. And you do this as part of evangelization. So what does a skateboard ministry look like? What need are you trying to meet?
I guess what we're trying to – we just don't see a lot of faith in just the skateboard culture in general, so we're just trying to maybe infiltrate that and just kind of like say, hey, there's a lot of things that skateboarding, you know, virtue and faith relate to skateboarding, and that it's normal and cool to have faith, I guess. But just build friendship, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, I know nothing about the skateboard community. So in terms of giving advice, I can give you general advice. Look, one of the most successful things that I did with a group of young people who were really, really difficult teens to work with. They were very hard-hearted. And a mentor of mine said, well, you know, I was just expressing my frustration about how our small group wasn't going well. And he said, have you taken the time to win the relationship yet? And I said, you know, when we talked about what that meant, I realized that there was not a, I wasn't pouring into the guy, like they didn't trust me yet. And so I could, you know, in terms of whatever I was teaching them in a Bible study, they couldn't care less because they didn't trust me yet. And so I spent the summer going mini golfing with them. And like, we went to Mass on Sunday, and then we went mini golfing afterwards, and then we'd end up at this like disgusting, greasy Mexican restaurant across from the mini, who I found out later was like selling drugs out of their kitchen. Like, that was the kind of place this place was. And we did like 5 minutes of Bible study there. And it did that all summer. It was the most successful thing that we did. And by the end, we won the relationship. So I would say, skate with the skateboarding guys, and then, you know, say, hey, we're going to go to Mass beforehand. Anybody who wants to join us, we're going to do 5 minutes of Bible study at the end of this. Anybody who wants to join us, take advantage of that like-minded thing that you do, and slowly start to bring faith into it.
Granger, I'm very interested in what you're doing. If you would leave your email with Edgar before you go, we'll give you some materials, but I'd also like to just hear more about what you're doing. You can't just come here on the last minute and tell us you got a skateboard ministry going. I got to know more about that. So hang on, Granger. Everett Fritz, Andrew Ministries, God bless you, brother. Thank you for another wonderful hour of Catholic Answers Live.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Well, we'll review that policy.